KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have clear skies and 35 degrees. We look forward to mostly sunny today with a high of 63. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investments. In area news, former Harlan City Administrator Terry Cox on Monday pled guilty to an amended felony charge of second-degree theft and an aggravated misdemeanor charge of tampering with records. According to court records, Cox pleaded guilty to theft in the second degree and tampering with records, and as part of the agreement, the plea agreement, a charge of felonious misconduct in office, will be dismissed at Cox's expense once the time for appeal is over. Sentencing is set for May 20th. The state will not request jail or prison time for him. Cox is required to pay restitution to the city of Harlan in the amount of $7,500. He says he plans to request a deferred judgment at the time of his sentencing. A downtown Atlantic business facade or exterior improvement project is moving forward despite some dropouts by business owners. SWPCO Community Development Team Leader Alexis Fleener told the City Council on Wednesday that eight building owners says he plans to request a deferred judgment at the time of his sentencing. A downtown Atlantic business facade or exterior improvement project is moving forward despite some dropouts by business owners. SWPCO Community Development Team Leader Alexis Fleener told the City Council on Wednesday that eight building owners are still waiting to move forward with efforts to obtain a community development block grant for as much as $500,000.
This program will assist the city in rehabilitating its downtown buildings to maintain a downtown presence within the city's designated urban renewal district. In order to reduce slum and blight, the project will assist in the renovation and rehabilitation of all participating building facades. The construction will take approximately 2 years to complete. The CDBG application will be made on or before May 17th, 2019.
The city is applying for $456,050. The grant covers up to 54% of the cost, with the remaining share split between the city and the building owners.
The city of Atlantic will provide a local match of $224,000
of the cost, with the remaining share split between the city and the building owners.
The city of Atlantic will provide a local match of $224,675. So you're right under that $225,000 budget that we were trying to shoot for.
A resolution to move forward with the CDBG application passed by a vote of 6-1 with Councilman Chris Jimerson, the lone no vote. Fleener said some of the building owners participating in the project during Phase 1 are in the 400 and 500 blocks of Chestnut Street. The eight building owners have given 10% of their building costs as part of the application process.
We bid the project all as one. It's all as one project.
Okay.
And the city council, the city owns the contract with the contractor ultimately. So there's going to be one general contractor and then, you know, various subcontractors that are working on all the buildings.
Local contractors with the lowest responsible bid will be sought in the bidding process. The facade improvements covered under the program include the building frontage to 24 inches deep, along with the sides for corner buildings, as well as restoration, rehabilitation, and replacement as necessary. The council also heard Wednesday from Snyder & Associates' Jeff Godwin with regard to erosion on the north bank of Troublesome Creek, about 600 feet east of the Olive Street Bridge, where a grade stabilization structure was installed some 40 to 50 years ago. The sheet piling and concrete structure was designed to raise the stream bed to prevent the waters from getting deeper further upstream. It failed about 10 years or so ago, allowing the river water to push around the end of the structure to the north. The erosion is encroaching on the trail system and AMU well fields, and Godwin says they're looking at options on how to best fix the problem. The Hungry Canyons Alliance, or HCA, a group of counties in southwest Iowa that was formed in the 90s, was successful over the years, he said, to obtain federal and state funding to build similar grade stabilization structures that protect bridges and highways.
So this is a site that we could consider putting one of those structures in. We've done some preliminary study on it. The estimate is about $240,000 for construction. It sounds like a lot of money. The good thing is, Hungry Canyons might be willing to kick in about $140,000 of that. And then the city and the county, I talked with Charlie, the county engineer. He's willing to be a co-sponsor. No promise of how much who would pay yet, but his bridges east of there on 635th and 640th Street would be protected by this structure as well. Probably it might reach as far as Highway 71 with the benefit.
In order to be eligible for the HCA funds, a topographic survey of Troublesome Creek needs to be taken, including a cross-section with depth measurements every 200 feet to just east of Highway 71. Godwin said HCA would pay 80% of the survey cost, estimated at $10,000. If the city wants Snyder's to conduct the survey, with the city's share amounting to $2,000, Godwin said it's possible AMU and the county could partner with the city as well for the proposed project, which would necessitate the removal of the current dam. He said the problem will get worse if something is not done within the next 5 years. The council will need to make a decision on holding the survey by their meeting on May 15th. A special meeting of the Griswold School Board will be held at 7 p.m. Monday in the middle school high school library to discuss the process used to fill a job vacancy. School officials have said the position of head softball coach had been offered and accepted by an individual prior to the board's meeting on April 15th. But during the public comment period on that meeting on Monday, a number of people in attendance voiced their displeasure with the selection. The meeting this coming Monday night will include additional discussion and a possible closed session to evaluate the professional competency of an individual whose appointment, hiring, performance, or discharge is being considered per Iowa code. When they return to an open session, the board will consider and act on approving a head and or assistant high school softball coach. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources said yesterday that a tanker carrying liquid fertilizer overturned 1 mile east of the Shelby exit on Interstate 80 Wednesday afternoon, causing an unknown amount of fertilizer to leak into a tributary of Silver Creek. DNR specialists investigated the spill of Ultramate liquid fertilizer, a humic acid-based soil conditioner. They took water samples for laboratory testing and checked for a fish kill. There was no sign of dead fish in the stream on Wednesday. DNR staff will check the stream again, or were expected to have done so on Thursday. The accident occurred when a Fouth Trucking Company tanker trailer approached stopped traffic along the interstate. The tanker was carrying about 5,500 gallons of fertilizer. The DNR says it will continue to monitor cleanup activities and consider appropriate enforcement. In our funeral announcements, Larry Lynn, age 78, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at his home. A visitation of the family of Larry Lynn will be held today from 10 a.m. until noon at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic, followed by open visitation from noon until 2:30. Kay Hupp, age 80, of Harlan, died Monday. A visitation for Kay Hupp will be held today from 3 until 8 p.m. at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan, where the family will greet friends from 5 until 7 this evening. Gary Dean Kloppenberg, age 70, of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, originally from Oneida, died Tuesday in Sioux Falls. Funeral services for Gary Kloppenberg will be held on Monday at 10 o'clock at the George Boom Funeral Home and On-Site Crematory in Sioux Falls. Marcella Hammond, age 101, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Marcella Hammond will be Monday at 11 a.m. at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Betty Specht, age 77, of Westphalia, died April 4th. A massive Christian burial for Betty Specht will be Monday at 11 a.m. at St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Leora Torres, age 103, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Specialty Care. Funeral services for Leora Torres will be Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Shirley Warren, age 85, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Shirley Warren are pending at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Karen Ann Spittler, age 70, of Atlantic, died Monday. Friends of Stiefel Investments, give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick.